Rocanto with Anna de Blasis right here on 720 WGN. Mark Sapelsa standing by at WGN TV.
Hey, Mark. Hi, Mark. Mark. We thought he was standing by.
I'm here.
There he is.
There you are.
Gosh.
Are you in the skilling position?
Skilling position, yeah. Okay. You know those news promos, they take forever.
Mm-hmm.
Coming up tonight at 9.
Yes, exactly.
Coming up tonight at 10.
Coming up tonight at 4
5,
and 5.
6.
And that's exactly right. So I just ran straight from there. Sorry.
That's all right. I'm sure one of the things coming up tonight at 9, the president comes to Chicago for his farewell address. What does it mean for you tonight at 9?
Right. As a matter of fact, that was one of our teases because we're sitting down with a Northwestern grad who's part of the speech. So
It's part of the speech. What does that
mean?
Well, that's a tease, isn't it?
Oh, come on!
Not for us. Right?
So you'll have to see.
So there are
so is he bringing people up? Is there going to be pantomime? What is going
to
happen?
Is it like State of the Union where they call on different people who represent different causes?
We'll sit down one-on-one with this Northwestern grad and explain.
Oh.
Let's see what he's doing right there.
Tease continues.
Pocketing it. Yes. Keeping it right there.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Right there. We don't know.
Gosh, I should get a bonus for that.
That was pretty good.
Thank you.
That was
so
darn good.
I suppose the question becomes, why are they doing this at McCormick Place? And it's the East Building at McCormick Place, right? Lakeside Center.
Yeah, which is, that's a hall to get to. I mean, walking, you'll have to plan on wherever you park, you'll have to walk forever to get to it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, right.
Always, that's true. You can set your Fitbit and you could really like burn some calories.
Exactly, because it's a small city over there.
It is.
Especially when you go to the lakeshore side.
So I cannot imagine that they're going to let people like pull up and maybe they'll let them park in that parking lot. There's the south lot of Soldier Field can also accommodate that.
Yeah, right, exactly. Again, you'll be hoofing, but yeah, we had our traffic reporter on today, kind of discussing some of the pitfalls, pratfalls, and inconveniences of trying to get over there. But
It's going to be something for the people, and they expect. I think 8,000 tickets were released for this?
Yeah, and I'm telling you, be careful, because Craigslist has a bunch of supposed tickets, but you know how that goes.
Mm-hmm.
Some going, well, people are asking, there was one person.
$5,000.
Yeah, $4,000 or $5,000. Yeah. Like, okay.
Whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think anybody's going to be paying that.
Yes.
Meryl Streep might pay it.
I think she'd get an invite.
Maybe
get comped.
I don't know, she's a flunky.
Yes.
I've heard. First.
No, she's Hillary's flunky, okay?
That's right. First, I heard in 2015 that he said that she was excellent and a good person.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, that was a headline on Twitter from 2015. And now she's a flunky and she's overrated.
Overrated.
Yeah,
overrated. She's overrated.
One of the best actresses of all time.
Well, that was, you know, he likes to do that because it's
fifth grade.
Maybe, no one says.
Maybe third.
It's like when John McCain, when he said John McCain wasn't a hero.
Yeah.
He prefers people who weren't captured, right? You're like, no, come on. No one would say that. Yeah. And
well,
same
no
thing about Meryl Streep.
Yeah. From that, I thought at the time.
Well, and then I find it interesting that quasi chief of staff here, what's her name, Kellyanne Conway, saying today, the media, he's having trouble with the media because you take him literally. Well, what are you supposed to do with a president? What's the media supposed to do with a president?
This is an impressionistic presidency.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. Yeah. It's the impression hearkening back. It was the New York Times did a story this week maybe it was Washington Post about Mount Airy, North Carolina, and the home of the Mayberry, essentially.
Yeah.
Right. It's
Andy Griffith.
It's the place that Andy Griffith was born in. Andy Griffith went on to say later, before he passed away, that Mount Airy wasn't really wasn't really a stand-in for Mayberry because he didn't write that show.
Right.
it was like this idea, this notion of creating a television show about a time gone by. And it was really supposed to be about the 1930s, not the 1950s. But they went to Mount Airy, North Carolina, and they talked to these people who were like, what's it like now? And the mills have closed down, and it's a town very much like a lot of towns in America that were, you know, based on a single company or maybe two companies. And then when one goes out, the other one goes out. And they've had all kinds of problems in Mayberry, essentially, in the last 20 years. And so there's still a It's there are racial issues there. There are economic issues there. There are, you know, all the things that there's drug issues. And so
Otis is still loaded.
Right. Yeah. Well, Otis is now on meth.
Oh, there you go.
Right. So there's so that's the difference.
Yep.
So now the question, you know, was and the Mount Airy, the powder Mount Airy was a primarily white community, went 80% for Trump. And that because they wanted to, and the whole idea there was that, you know, that kind of the their version of precinct captains, you know, the people who were like rounding up the vote for him there, were like, well, we want to bring this back. We want to bring Mount Airy back to Mayberry. We want it to be like that again. Mm-hmm. And then you had these folks who are black folks there who were like, whoa. Back in the 1950s, we couldn't go into the restaurant.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
We couldn't actually show up at the voting place. We couldn't do that.
That is a perfect microcosm of the debate.
Right.
Between the two sides, if you will. You know?
Mm-hmm. And so now, yes, absolutely. And now, so we sit and we stop and it's a great debate to have. But the problem is, if we're going to have an impressionistic presidency where there is no real detail to it, it's sort of an idea. It's not an actual act, which can't happen because when on noon next Friday, mm-hmm. he's in charge and things are going to happen. And believe me, people were going to, whether it's Kim Jong-un or Vladimir Putin ISIS or somebody, people are going to, they're going to throw crap at him right now. They're holding stuff to, because they're like, we want to test the new guy. And the new guy is, and you know, you go around, and we sit here in America, and we think, oh, well, the American president, they're also very different, right? And you can't really get two more diametrically opposed political figures than Barack Obama and Donald Trump.
No, you can't.
But you go overseas, and that's the American president. They don't care. They don't care if it's Donald Trump. And Vladimir Putin, if Donald Trump, he's calling people stupid on Twitter today who think that we shouldn't have a better relationship with Russia. And I don't think he understands. I don't think he understands how sophisticated Americans really are about this issue. I think that we get that this isn't about having. It would be nice. We don't want to go to war with anybody, but they're not on our side. We're not on their side. We have different economic issues. Mm-hmm. We have a different view of the world.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
We are in conflict over resources in parts of the Middle East. And he's trying to suck up to Putin because it's a reset. Mm-hmm. But everybody tried this. George W. Bush tried it. Remember, called him Pooty Poot? Remember that?
Right.
George W. Bush, I saw inside his soul.
Yep.
Right?
Looked in his eyes, saw his soul.
He's a good man. Right? That didn't work out.
Yeah.
Barack Obama tried the same thing. That didn't work out. You would think that Trump would be the kind of guy sharp enough to figure it out. But I think the reason was that he understood very well. Why did he 6 months ago say at that press conference, last press conference he had, you know, until Wednesday, did he say, you know, Russia, if you're listening, because he knew. He knew that they were part of the WikiLeaks thing. Mm-hmm. He knew
they were involved, for
and
sure.
He knew that, and he was quoting WikiLeaks the entire time. Hey, remember during a debate, he pointed out during a debate. John Podesta said all kinds of bad things about you in your emails. Remember that, Hillary? Right? Mm-hmm. And that was, so he knew what was going on. Mm-hmm. Whether he knew it because he was getting briefed on it he wasn't being briefed on it. But he had people around him who probably were able to say to him, listen, this is the Mad Dog Mattis and people like that are like, yeah, this is probably what is occurring. And he went with it. And now he's stuck with this position. He's stuck with trying to be nice to a guy who really does not have the best interest of the United States at heart. Now, and the problem is that the president-elect, soon to be the president, must have the best interest in the United States. That's on his job description.
Yeah.
It certainly is. Mm-hmm. And Putin's former KGB and knows how to manipulate people. He's a master.
Master of the dark arts, they said today.
Is that what they called
him? Yes. So this will be fun to watch.
It will be.
But again, you know, it's very interesting to hear Republicans like, the Russians, they're just fine, folks. They're just trying to do their job. What are you talking about?
We should be worried about them.
Yeah.
That's not what they said for years.
No.
Yeah. Until
no,
now.
No. This is the thing.
Right.
I mean, I have worked in talk radio for the better part of three decades.
Excuse me. The evil empire was a quote from a Republican. Ronald Reagan.
Yes. Mm. Well, yeah. But that was communist Russia. That's the way that they were looking at it. Now it's fascist Russia. Like, yeah. That's better?
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. What does that say?
I mean it's, yeah, journalists getting jailed, killed, opponents getting jailed, killed, period.
Poisoned, horrifying.
Flat
ways.
Out.
Yeah.
Flat out. Yeah.
Yeah. And there's no denying it.
No.
I mean, this is stuff that Republicans have been telling us
for
years.
It's a brutal society.
Yes. And to not trust them. And now it's sort of like, the amazing amount of contortion that so many, especially conservative Republicans and people who are philosophical conservatives, had the contortions that they have to go through to bend themselves into what Donald Trump is creating, to create this, he's created a new form, and they have to adopt the form, at least for now. And I think they're thinking, well, he'll come to our side. Really?
I
don't think so.
Right. Because I think everything Democrats, reporters, even Republicans who were wary and have been wary, everybody that has said, well, I think he'll come around, he hasn't.
Right. No. Well, he even said it. He said, y'all be so presidential. You'll see. Wait. Just wait.
He's also said, I am who I am, and I'm changing, though. And I think that we should believe that.
That's more honest.
And so it's, to hear, like the philosophy as, through, through Rush Limbaugh, let's say, who for years, has been adopting a very Goldwater-esque and then very strict economic conservatism that goes along with, we got to cut smaller government, less intrusive government, mm-hmm. Those kinds of things. And then liberals were, the bad people who didn't, that wanted to enslave you by having a large government. Well, and these work programs, WPA, that's all that failed Roosevelt philosophy. Mm. Well, this is what Donald Trump's calling for. And now all of a sudden they go, this is great. We're going to spend all this money. Mm-hmm. Where are you going to get the money? We're going to cut taxes. We're going to take less money in and spend more money.
Right.
I think I've dated people like that. I think I know how that works. I know where that ends. I've been that guy myself. That doesn't work. We're going to take less money in and spend more money.
You've been in that movie.
We're going to do this.
His middle name is Trickle Down.
Yes. Yeah. And it doesn't work. And
David Stockman.
And he wants to build a military. He wants to do that. He's saying a lot of other things that conservatives are with, but they're okay. How are you going to pay for that? What are you going to do? And people who do have an eye on that and are thoughtful of it, they're getting kind of run over. And it's a scary moment for a lot of people, I think.
I think you're right.
And I think Republicans are like, they're putting on a brave face. And saying, hey, this is our guy. We're going to go with it. But they don't know because he could turn on them at any minute.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Somebody wrote, I can't remember who it was, opinion column about even the Republicans being fearful, automakers being fearful, women being fearful, some women, liberal women.
Meryl Streep.
Yep. That he's turning it into a stan. That might be a reach or a stretch. It was an opinion column, but, mm-hmm. Afghanistan, Kyrgyzstan, mm-hmm. Ameristan, because, it's authoritarian. And that's that fear you're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah.
It might be a reach, but.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, we'll see.
Those are the concerns.
Well, the concern is that there will not be that he will use the levers of government to punish his enemies. Politically in the United States.
Well, and how can you not help but wonder, based on everything that comes out of Twitter, out of his Twitter account?
Well, don't take him literally.
Exactly.
Well, then what are we supposed to do? I don't understand.
That's the original point that I brought up from the.
It is.
From what's her name is.
It struck me this morning too.
Then what?
Kellyanne Conway said, "You don't know what's in his heart."
Yeah. Well,
but when you look at his
words, we know what's on Twitter, and it causes stock markets to to change, mm-hmm. companies to change decisions, people to feel. Offended, people to feel like they want to lash back. What are we supposed to do? That's the question. It's confusing. Or he says one thing and then comes out in the news conference, 2 hours later and says, no, the transition is going fantastically. After slamming the transition and the president, Obama, on a tweet 2 hours before that it's very confusing.
Yeah.
So anyway.
So
I know I'm preaching to the choir.
But. I know, and mm-hmm. even at that level, I mean, there are a lot of problems in America that have been highlighted by this, whether it's violence in Chicago or things that have been the result of of either government overreach. Mm-hmm. I mean, the healthcare system is a mess, right? But now they got now it's like this is the first thing, like repeal and replace. On day one, I'm going to, you know, people always say that. Well, now it's like, well, maybe I'm not going to do that. Are his most convinced supporters, are they going to, when he doesn't do any of the things he said he was going to do, it'll take 4 years to replace, and it'll be a similar, if not a government-run system that is going to actually, because, you know, we'll expand Medicaid. Well, that's just government insurance.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's all that is. That's single payer. That's the mm-hmm. thing that we were worried about in the first place. You know, it's like, well, where...
And that system will have its own problems, as it does right now.
Yeah, lack of access and all those things. I mean, it's tough.
It is tough.
So what do you do? What when he doesn't do what he says he's going to do, when he doesn't lock her up,
and
he charges us for the wall, and actually doesn't even finish the wall.
Yeah, I was going to bring up the lock her up thing. As soon as I posted that on Facebook, I think it was early December, something like that, there were two Trump voter followers who were very clear. They were, and I'm not quite sure why they hadn't really read the tea leaves before I posted it, but literally their response was, what? This is one of the reasons why I voted for him. He's what? He's backing down on locking her up? And those Facebook posts were serious. They weren't messing mm-hmm. around. So I wonder,
hackers.
Well, exactly.
That's what those were. Those are those posters. You don't know the posters are.
Signed Julian Assange. Right.
Yeah.
But I do wonder what the expiration date is on his voters and what he can or cannot do. Now, some might be saying right now about the automakers and things like, see, this is what I'm talking about. This is what I wanted. You know, keep the jobs here.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
However, in a free market society, how long does that last? How long did the automakers withstand that? Or I don't think it's sustainable. There are reasons why some of these automakers consider the North American Free Trade Agreement to be beneficial to how they operate, even if it is negative toward the American worker. Sad as it is, that's globalization.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk about that with Paul Bryan coming up. Actually.
Great.
That's going to be on the on the docket here. And I thought the other thing Kellyanne Conway said today, and I know we got to run, but that was interesting, was she said, you know, about Meryl Streep. If Meryl Streep's so concerned about the mentally or the, you know, physically challenged disabled. Or mm-hmm. physically or mentally disabled, then why was she, you know, why didn't she talk about what happened in Chicago? Why isn't anybody talking about that? Well, everybody's talking about it.
The Facebook Live situation.
The Facebook Live mm-hmm. situation. Yeah. Everybody's talking about it. Everybody's is offended by it, and everybody realizes that there is black on white anger and hatred and racism as well, and it started that conversation. And it's a conversation certainly appropriate to have in America about mm-hmm. how hate transcends, and that we have to decry it at every step.
Yep.
But those kids, those idiots who got arrested, are not elected president of the United States. We're talking about the president here. There's a difference.
Yeah.
President-elect. All right. Mark, good luck to you on
Thank
all
you.
Of your promos and your proceedings here tonight at WGN-TV News at 9 and 10.
Very good.
And then stay tuned for Paul Bryan for the Detroit Auto Show, because that's going to be interesting.
Excellent.
Because he'll talk about all those things.
I'll try not to be late tomorrow.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Mark.
Violetta's got the WGN Traffic Trouble Spots right now.